compelling, inspiring, innovative.
I object, Your Honor. This trial is a travesty. It's a travesty of a mockery, of a sham, of a mockery, of a travesty, of two mockeries, of a sham.
Welcome to the Charleston School of Law Podcast.
Welcome to the Charleston School of Law Podcast. Find us at charlestonlaw.edu/podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, John Strubel. Our guest today is Christy Lorente, Director of Wellness and Success at Charleston Law. Christy, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, John.
Where did you grow up?
In Ohio.
Oh, you grew up in Ohio.
Don't tell Charlestonians that.
That means you're a Yankee?
I did, yes. I grew up in Ohio. I went to undergraduate school at Ohio University before heading west.
Yeah, you lived in Cali for a while, didn't you?
I did. So I went to law school in Colorado.
Okay.
At the University of Colorado at Boulder, and then moved to California for my first job. I got an on-campus interviewing.
Okay.
And moved to San Diego, and I was a prosecutor there for the city attorney's office. I worked in the civil division of the city attorney's office before I moved to Northern California.
And then you come back to Charleston just a few years ago to join the law school. What led you from going from practicing the law to behind the scenes more leadership and admin in the law school?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when I saw this job advertised, it was really a beautiful blend of what I had kind of been studying on my own and my personal interests in an academic setting. So as soon as I went to law school in Colorado, I got into hiking and the outdoors and figured out how to take care of myself physically and mentally while I was law schooling.
Mm.
And so, and then being in Boulder, I picked up sort of all these practices and learned about yoga and breath work and all of these things and continued that through my, you know, I graduated from law school in 2000, so I continued that, you know, through law school and then through practice as well.
I was
a prosecutor for a long time when we moved to Northern California, and that's a really high-stress situation.
What causes so much stress in the law school setting for students?
In the law school setting? Well, it's an inherently competitive, you know, you're being ranked against your classmates. For a lot of students, myself included, it's a different way of learning. So you come from an undergraduate environment where maybe you're the most intelligent person in your class to coming to a place where there are a lot of intelligent people. And then it's a lot of reading and the volume. And so, and I think for a lot of our students, they change location. They leave maybe their support system or their hometown or the place that they went to college and a different way of life. Mm. It's just a lot of transition all at once.
Mm. Yeah, that can be quite, you can see it in the hallways, especially among, if we're talking 1L students, to those who don't know a lot about the law, that's a freshman student coming in to the law school. And you can see that kind of progression. Sometimes they come in, they're all bright-eyed and excited and everything. And then after a short period of time, you can see them not withdraw, but kind of get, whew, I'm winded, I'm tired.
Yeah, well, I think they come in kind of like the word I like is skited. Like it's a combination of scared and excited. Yeah. And they don't know what to expect. And
right.
It's a new way of learning with all new people. And so you can feel that vibration. Mm. And, you know, it takes, they have to kind of settle into the newness of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way of learning has to click in. And so that's a, you know, learning how to brief a case, learning how to take a law school exam, learning how to study in a whole new way, learning that maybe their brain takes this information in differently than it did when they were in undergraduate school.
Mm. What are the typical challenges that law school students have when they come to you?
Mm. Well, I think most of them, you know, everyone has the experience, I think, of an adjustment period.
Sure.
To the newness.
Sure.
And so, and some students might need support around that. Like, we do our best to create smaller communities so that they can really connect with each other. That's the best kind of support.
Mm.
So we have all sorts of different clubs to support, to help them form communities. We have different student organizations, but we also have the best scenario is when a more seasoned student can advise and create a bond with a newer student. Mm. And so they feel held in that way. And so I think that when we can create those opportunities for them to connect with each other, that's really the most successful thing. You know, because, you know, it is what we try to do in wellness is to help them build resilience. Mm. So when they feel challenged by the stress and the anxiety and the workload, they've built their inner resources to be able to depend on themselves and each other to kind of get through that.
How much do you sit back and not do your job, but how much do you sit back and let students really, especially the more seasoned students who are 3Ls and about to graduate, pour into those 1Ls because it's so relational and so relatable. Mm-hmm. They can look each other in the eye and go, I know what you're going through.
Right. Because I know what they're going through.
Right.
It just happened a long time ago. Yeah. Right. And so, you know, if I can make a connection between students, I will. We have a program with Lawyers Helping Lawyers.
Yes.
with the State Bar. And so they have a liaison program so that students can share with Lawyers Helping Lawyers what kind of support they need. And those students are also very vocal with me. Mm. So oftentimes I'll have a student reach out to me expressing concern about a student. Or students have a lot of them come to me on their own. Like I'll have an interaction with a friend and they say, my friend said that a conversation with you helped. And so it happens sort of, it grows in that way, word of mouth.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's something that they don't necessarily want to share with a classmate,
right.
Because that feels vulnerable and this is their friend group. And we can have a really meaningful conversation and I can connect them to one of our Timely Care therapists. Mm-hmm. We have a contract with Timely Care. So every student here has 12 free sessions during the academic year that they can connect with a mental health clinician.
Okay.
And so that has been a really invaluable resource where they can have this completely, you know, outside of our system person to just care about them, listen to their concerns, and give them some counseling and therapy through those situations.
Prior to you coming here, we did support students, but we never had a really refined process in place. I'm going to guess that you did a lot of that and had a clean slate coming in to work from the ground up and build these community relationships, Lawyers Helping Lawyers, Timely Care, all these different programs that are now available here to students at the law school. Is that fairly accurate? Did you start from zero?
You know, I think there were definitely some initiatives that had happened kind of piecemeal, and
yeah.
It was definitely the heart for it and the bones of the current wellness initiative. And kudos to, and I think our law school is one of the first to really pour into wellness and supporting students in this way, because it's really, John, about, you know, educating them as students, but also helping them learn this resilience that they'll carry with them into practice.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to cope when things begin. The practice of law is stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to reach for the things that they've developed so they can have confidence and depend on themselves when it's a squeeze. So what I've tried to do, I did some research, you know, about some different programs in different law schools and tried to build a wellness program that is robust and touches on the eight different pillars of wellness.
Okay.
So we try to do programming that taps into each one of those pillars to support the students. And it's, you know, we have tried to build partnerships whenever we can. We try to have professionalism events that touch on those areas. And just, it's really creating a culture.
It is.
One of the things that we're doing later in March is the mental health first aid training.
Yes.
And it is we have a great trainer that comes in and we co-host that with Lawyers Helping Lawyers. And it's an educational opportunity for staff, faculty, and students to be educated about what to look for and how to connect someone that's struggling to resources. It's really empowering. It's a really, really great. So it's creating a culture of we're looking out for each other, we're supporting each other, and teaching students how to really support themselves.
Yeah. And I think that that training is so valuable for someone like me who is looking for more of the awareness component of it, to identify and observe people and see things and notice behavioral changes in students I may know or staff that may be friends of mine. It's like something else is going on here.
Yeah.
And it really, I think, will help us all as a whole to really do.
It's really, it really is. I think the more that we have awareness, the more we can look out for each other and take care of each other, you know, and that really, we try to do that in creating these relationships.
Yep.
We create a community. You know, we have a couple softball teams that are going to go play. And, you know, those connections through having fun together.
Yes.
Through different student organizations. And then, so it's really about achieving optimal wellness so that we are robust and resilient.
Ah.
Yeah.
Let's talk specifically about a couple of the programs here that I really want to raise the value of. You spoke generally about lawyers helping lawyers, and they had that component built in already when you got here. And then we really started to evolve and I think grow dramatically since your arrival in that area so students could get the support they need. And I hear it and I hear people talking about it without being prompted. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that relationship and how it works for the school and how much is lawyers helping lawyers available here on campus and how we can support the students.
They're wonderful. So Beth Padgett is the program director at Lawyers Helping Lawyers. And I met her and the person that was doing their outreach when I came. And so the state bar has a charge to support both lawyers in South Carolina as well as law students. And so that relationship had already been established, and I think we've really just strengthened it.
Sure. So
there is they have a therapist, Brianna Sir, who is completely separate from the law school, and she's on campus most Tuesdays and meets with students one-on-one.
Okay.
She's a mental health clinician, and she's a wonderful person and therapist, and I know that students really feel like she's a source of support. They've expressed to me, and I always refer people to our virtual platform as well as reach out to Brianna. Lawyers Helping Lawyers also will work with students around character and fitness. Mm-hmm. If they have anything concerning, either coming into law school or that happens here, that they need to be counseled about how to best prepare themselves for licensing, they reach out to Lawyers Helping Lawyers, and they're a great help in that regard.
Wellness and mental health, it's very clever and cunning to me, some of that stuff, when I think about it, because it starts maybe with a little bit of stress, a little bit of anxiety, and then it elevates into maybe some potentially dangerous areas, alcohol, drugs, to kind of cope as a mechanism. And then it can get out of control where you have behavioral issues. And if you're a working or practicing lawyer, that could be very dangerous for you to be able to practice. I'm not saying we have a lot of that going on, but the awareness component when you're at those minimal levels, I mean, first, am I accurate in that kind of like evolution of it? Did I miss something in there?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, I actually later in March, we're having a professionalism event that you know about, where we're having a practitioner from South Carolina come talk about, she does a 12-step program and talk about her, you know, how she struggled with substances and alcohol and how she has come to be. And we're having another woman come that she's, you know, Sober Curious Movement, and how she talks about how, you know, when you take away that coping, you have to have something else. And I firmly believe that. So that's what we try to do, is like be aware of the unhealthy coping. Because it can be alcohol, it can be substance, but it can also be a codependent relationship. It can also be shopping. It can also be
eating.
Whatever it is, right? So it's being aware, and you know, we have Mindful Mondays every Monday in October and February. And so that is really the practice of paying attention to how something is making you feel. Are you reaching for something to avoid a feeling? Let's learn how to deal with a feeling in a healthy way, right? That's going to be what you want to draw on. That's going to be sustainable for the long run. Mm-hmm. So, and I do think that is the importance of having education out there around substances, because you'll hear the stats all day about, you know, the legal profession and how it's a higher rate of abuse of all the substances.
Right.
And the anxiety. And so I think that, you know, educating students at this point about you know, the potential pitfalls, and they know we talk about it, they've heard it. So it's, what can we provide that's not that? What can you turn to? Another person, community, another resource, right?
Very cool. When we start looking at success in this area, how do we measure that? Is it measurable? Is it something that you can measure in some way to say these programs are successful, other than just anecdotal evidence and cases you can reflect on, or students you've seen come from one end of that spectrum to a real healthy place?
Right. Well, for me, and now that, you know, I've been here for a couple of years now, so it's been, I go twice a year to Columbia to support the bar examiners. I just got back last
That's right.
from the February bar. And so for now,
How are they holding up, by the way?
Well, you know, talk about stress, right? No, they're hanging in there. They're hanging in there.
Good.
So for me, I've had the opportunity to see some students come through from their first year to their third year, and to see that evolution of when they were in my room and things were hard, to spreading their wings and finding their student organization and finding their social group and figuring out how to study and be successful and think about their, you know, having an externship and thinking about their career. So I see that happen on an individual level.
Yeah.
And then they come talk to me,
you know,
and they tell me how great that is. And we have the wellness room.
Sure.
And so whenever it's a particularly stressful time, I come out and I bring my computer out and I sit by the window and I let them kind of have that lounge area, you know. So I see them, you know, in their small sections or supporting each other or studying. And I mean, that's the success.
I know some of these topics can be heavy and difficult and challenging for students and maybe some staff and those practicing the law. When you do it every day and you see challenges along the way, where do you find the joy? How do you rise above that and kind of get centered yourself? Because you hear these stories all day and it's like, wow, so much of this is going on. Where do you find your release, or to kind of keep your own level of stress low? Because that can be really consuming amount of time.
That's interesting. You know, I don't think it's about keeping the level of stress low, because I think it's about managing the stress.
Okay.
Right? Because if we wanted to keep the level of stress low, we'd never go to law, right? or practice, honestly. And so I think it's just about, you know, I saw this somewhere and I wrote it down, and I think about it during exam time. It's, you know, get your butterflies in formation. So, right? So it's just learn how to harness all that energy and how to direct it. But, you know, on a personal level, I do a lot of yoga. I meditate. I keep up with my practices. I can tell when, you know, I take my morning walk. I can tell when I need a little, you know,
a break,
a little break and a little unplug. And so I can tell if I start to feel a little short, you know, and it's that mindfulness. It's checking in with would I normally, you know, react this way, or let's not react. So I think it is, I have to practice what I preach, and I have to reflect that back and just try to tune into my nervous system, right? And I also am just like ridiculously positive, irritatingly so, because I see the potential in everything.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. And I, to me, the best feeling in the world is to feel purposeful in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So even if someone has a is going through a challenging time, if I can just sit with them, I can see them just visibly just relax when they know someone is hearing what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like, that itself is like fuel for me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
That helps me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do law students struggle with most?
Mm. I would say probably overwhelm, right?
Too much.
Well, they just have a lot coming at them, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to learn a, you know, voluminous amount of information and learn how to you know, academically learn how to deliver in a testing situation.
Yeah.
You know, and they get midterms and they get finals. So they get, you know, and it feels a lot of them have worked their entire lives to have this opportunity. So this is their life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times when I'm talking with someone, it's important for them to be able to step back and see that they're more than a law student, right? You know, they're a friend, they're a son or a daughter or a mother or, you know, they have these other identities as well, right? So this is their life and it's really important, but it's also not everything.
Right.
You're more than just this identity as a law student. So I think that really, really, really intense focus on what they're up to can feel overwhelming if it feels like everything's kind of right. It feels like everything's riding on on their performance.
Yeah, the pressure of that.
Yeah, there are a lot of law students are type A people.
Right? No.
They're perfectionists. So it's a challenge to step back and say, you know, I got my first C in my life or whatever it is.
And you want to encourage that to be stay the type A because that's going to make you
That's the thing. I love that you brought that up. But, you know, we in one of our recent mindfulness sessions we talked about that of being I always say this, to be kind but firm with yourself.
Sure.
Right? So, yes, be firm. Like, do your reading.
Mm-hmm.
Study for your test.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare. Be ready, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to feel better and more confident too.
Mm-hmm.
But also be kind. You don't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself like you would. Befriend yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So, we've talked about some of the programs, but I want to talk about, it seems like there's a few programs out there too that organically have kind of evolved over the past couple years. And I'd like you to give me some background and understand how we've reached this point. Veteran Support Group, mm-hmm. which I think is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Moms of Law and Dads of Law,
yeah,
which was a need here on campus. I mean, we had those people of those ages in that season of life where they needed that support to talk to others in that same season of life. Did that come together by students or you kind of seeing that and then pulling students together?
Well, I think, again, it's about sitting back and identifying, you know, and my boss, Nick Sanders, is really, really good at this. It's like sitting back and identifying, you know, different groups that have a shared experience,
mm-hmm.
a shared niche experience, right? And when you get those people in a room, they can share resources, but also they have a shared experience. And that's really powerful to see what you're, you know, juggling and managing or what you historically have experienced reflected back at you. And then just that simple support of knowing you've been through what I've been through, or you are currently juggling exactly what I am and other people can't relate. So it's bringing them together as a practical matter. They support each other. I've seen amazing friendships and support come out of that. as well. So I think it's about identifying those niche communities within our larger community that it's that connection is just really going to be valuable for them.
And be careful not to just carbon copy other schools doing it, because their problems or their issues or their challenges among the student body may be different than what ours is. Because regionalism.
Every student body is unique. The number of, you know, the number of locals, or, you know, the breakdown of the ages of your students and kind of the experiences that they've had that have, you know, brought them here to law school.
Sure. Thank you so much, Christy.
You're welcome.
Christy Laurenti, Director of Student Wellness and Success here at Charleston School of Law. You can find out more about our wellness programs at charlestonlaw.edu/wellness. We'll have you back on again very soon, and it'll be nothing but a joke telling.
All right. I love it.
Streaming on Spotify, iTunes, and charlestonlaw.edu.
This is the Charleston School of Law podcast.